Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers and my young ones, many of us have come for Jummah here because of the nikah that will be taking place. So just one or two aspects with regards to nikah. At the very outset, we all know that before the nikah takes place, or at the time of the nikah, a khutbah is recited, which is known as khutbah of hajah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that tashahud, what we recite in our salat, at-tahiyyatu lillah. And then he taught us that tashahud of hajah at the time of necessity, like the nikah, etc. And then he recited the khutbah. And what we recite in the khutbah are three ayats of the Quran Sharif that was recited. And when we listen very carefully to these three ayat, we will find that ittaqullah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to adopt taqwa, is repeated four times. And then again we will find that when we are reciting the Quran, more especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about different laws of the Shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly reminding us about taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Fear Allah ta'ala so that you may be successful. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become conscious of Allah ta'ala, and know that Allah Ta'ala is with those that have the quality of taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Fear Allah Ta'ala and know that you are going to be resurrected towards Allah Ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ. Fear Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, for certainly you are going to meet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. You're going for Hajj. Take along with you your provisions. And the best of provisions is that of taqwa. So this taqwa, the command of taqwa, the command of the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the piety, is replete in the Quran Sharif. And ulama have explained the whole idea behind it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create within us, in our minds, He's impressing it upon us so that we can create within ourselves an alert system in our minds, in our hearts, so that when we are in our everyday tasks, everyday activities, wattaqullah, we become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything we do. Usually, we feel that taqwa, piety, consciousness of Allah ta'ala is confined to our ibadat. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani Sahib, atalallahu baqa'a, he says if you scrutinize the shariat, then ibadat is important, but it is a quarter of our shariat. Three quarter of our shariat pertains to hukukul ibad, the rights of others. So we will ask the question, why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this occasion bring these ayat of the Quran, the three ayat, four times, repetition of ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because now there is going to be a new life that is going to begin. On the one hand is a bridegroom who may have been very conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had performed all his salat. He had given out his zakat. He was very conscious with regards to the rights of his parents, his siblings, other family members, employees, employers, whatever the case may be. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings it, that here is now an additional responsibility for you to have an added consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are going to take this woman in your life, and to the bride, you are now getting married to this man. Now there is an additional reason for the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, rahmatullah alayhi, was once approached by a person, and that person, in a state of joy and elation, he said to him that alhamdulillah, I've reached the stage of ihsan. What is the stage of ihsan? Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam defines it in the hadith, an ta'buda Allah ka annaka tara, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ, that you worship Allah Ta'ala as though you see Allah Ta'ala. In other words, you are conscious of Allah Ta'ala. So he said, I've reached the stage of consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Istihdar, I'm aware of Allah Ta'ala. So these awliya, these walis of Allah, Allah had given them very broad insight. So he asked this person, bhai, does this happen in your salat only, or when you are interacting with your family? So the response of this person was, as though the question is not an acceptable question, of course, in my salat. So what happens when you are with your family? He understood ibadat an ta'bud Allah to be confined only to salat and the hukukullah, the rights of Allah Ta'ala, and he disregarded interaction with others, and he didn't realize that those are also the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought this in the khutbah, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. There is an extent here of the taqwa. O you who have brought iman, become conscious of Allah Ta'ala, fulfilling the right of the consciousness of Allah. That now you have the added responsibility and you have to now fulfill the right of this added responsibility. What is this haqqa tuqatihi, fulfilling the right of the taqwa, of the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, ayyu ta'a, that number one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be obeyed. In all states, in all conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be obeyed, whether it is the rights of Allah, whether it is the rights of others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be obeyed. Now coming particularly to interpersonal relationships, whether it is our spouses or whether it is any other interpersonal relationships, we find that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, hold on to forgiveness. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and command that is which is good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn away from the ignorant. Obviously the words of this ayat was understood by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, what is the meaning of this? What is this command of Allah Ta'ala? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala has commanded that you be good to that person that oppresses you. Now again, we look at the person that is being spoken to is none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Insofar as tolerance, patience, perseverance, generosity, nobility, who could question that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You forgive that person that has made zulm upon you. Now again, when we look at it in the context of nikah, that on the one hand we will have rights and obligations, yes, there are duties that others have to fulfill, we'll have those rights. But we have duties that we have to fulfill, there are obligations upon us. Now when they are not being fulfilled, sometimes we grow up as children with that tit-for-tat mentality. So are we now going to carry this into the nikah? Are we going to go on with all of that? Or are we going to look at the ayats of the Quran Sharif? Are we going to look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And are we going to show the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when that khutbah is being recited, for us that are reciting it, for us that are listening to it, this is a lesson that is hidden behind that. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you give to the one that withholds. Sometimes there's a right that is withheld from us. Now at that time, are we going to do the same? Are we also going to withhold the rights of our spouses because they have withheld our rights? They have done wrong to us. Are we going to withhold, or are we going to show that we are the better? And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The third aspect is this, that you join the relationship with the one that has broken the relationship. Now it happens in the normal course of any relationship. It will happen in a marriage that we are going to have disagreements. Two individuals have come from two different upbringings, two different backgrounds. They will have probably two different priorities in many aspects. Both will have iman, both will have deen, but there will be some differences and there will be these disagreements. And these disagreements are there, they are going to occur from time to time. And you and I, we need to learn to deal with these disagreements. And if perchance there's a break in that communication, we need to understand that we can never allow the communication to remain broken for very long. The longer we allow the communication to be broken, remember there is time that is going to be spent in misery that could have been spent in pleasure. When we look again at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the broad context, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is not permissible for two people to break off a relationship for more than 3 days. And then the second part of those ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam commends the first person to make salam. The person that begins the relationship to start the communication. So on the other side, if you're seeing somebody's got a tobru, somebody's got some looking like a constipation, are you going to also have that constipation and you're going to go on with that? That is going to create a tremendous amount of problems in the marriage relationship going forward. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam giving us this advice, giving Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam this advice needs to be transferred to us and to those, for us to apply to those that are closest to us. So in the marriage, if there is that break in that communication, then we should be the first, and we should try to be the first, because the person that begins the salam, that person is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we may look small in the eyes of others in this world. It may be I had to swallow my pride in this world. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a noble deed. And I am looking at the long-term advantages of my relationship with my spouse. So that is, insofar as haqqa tuqatihi is concerned, from one aspect of it. The other aspect is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Actually, haqqa tuqati, there's two other aspects that we can discuss. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be remembered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should never be forgotten. Now this is a relationship that had come together, man and wife, husband and wife, the spouses. So it is another home that has come into being. Another Muslim home, a home of a mu'min and a mu'mina that has been founded. And it is expected that this home be founded on tawheed and iman. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be remembered, that the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place the way Allah Rabbul Izzat has commanded, our salat, our zakat, our tilawat of the Quran Sharif. In one hadith, one part of the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that do not make your home qabrastans, do not make it cemeteries. In other words, liven it up with the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the third aspect is that to make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never to be unappreciative of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Particularly in the marriage, for whichever spouse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, make shukr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us, and in that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's barakat will come down. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ is now a very clear reminder that we have this journey of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and do not die but in a condition, a state in which you are submissive to Allah Rabbul Izzat. One is the ni'mat of iman. Allah ta'ala has bestowed iman upon us. That is a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. One of our pious walis of Allah ta'ala once asked the question, which is the greatest ni'mat of Allah? Many ulama were sitting in that majlis and everyone answered iman. So he asked, usse barkar, greater than that? Now silence. Then he responded, to leave this world in a state of iman. And to leave this world in a state of iman means that we have to make the effort of iman. Look at how apt, how relevant Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brings this ayat at this particular occasion. That now you have a life ahead of you. The two of you have come together, and inshallah, Allah ta'ala grant you the best of offspring. And now this home comes into being, and this home has to be a home that is built on iman, built on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not leave this world in a state, but that you are submissive to Allah Rabbul Izzat. In the hadith, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the way you love, that is the way you are going to leave this world. If we turn the pages of Islamic history, then we will recall many personalities. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for example, was a person that loved by the Quran, the recitation and the tilawat of the Quran. And when we look at the way he left this world, he left this world with the tilawat of the Quran. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi gave his life for the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he left this world, he was turning the pages of his own compilation. And in that way, he gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the recitation of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the way we live this world, the way we live in this world, that is the way we are going to leave this world. So this is a message, this is the command of Allah ta'ala, and this is the message that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves us with, is that now you have this life, and this is supposed to be a life of submission, subjugation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide, and you continue this life. Of course, one of the ayahs that I recited, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah, O you who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waqulu qawlan sadida. And speak appropriately, speak in a proper manner. Now that communication once again comes in, and in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person that leaves his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults. One understanding of this hadith is Allah ta'ala will conceal our faults in this world and tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. That person who is able to take, avenge his rage, and yet he does not do so, but rather he chooses not to do so, then Allah ta'ala will fill his heart with ar-raja, with hope of the mercy on the day of Qiyamah. So, in the manner we speak, in the way we do things, in our nikah, at home, with our parents, our spouses, our siblings, out of our home, wherever we are, if we speak in the right way, Allah Ta'ala takes the responsibility, يُسْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will correct your deeds, whether it is the deeds of deen, or whether it is our material activities, Allah Tabaraka Wa Ta'ala will correct all of that. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That whoever obeys Allah Ta'ala, and he obeys Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many of us have different ideas of success, but the real and true success is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala guarantees that that will be success in this material world and success in the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.